Good evening, everybody. So here for another installment of our series of Guf and Neshama. And we're in part two of researching, you know, in generally speaking, in the big picture, how the body and soul fit together. Of course, when it comes down to the details, there are a lot of details, and not all aspects of the neshama merge with the body in this lifetime equally. But generally speaking, to understand how body and soul in the individual and cosmically, we're talking about two cosmic forces, Horus upon him and Hester upon him, fit together, opposites, you know, can't stand each other, and yet, you know, destined to have the most perfect fusion. We said, what's it like? Marriage. Correct. I neglected to speak, you know, last week amongst the very interesting chazals of what you get if you're a mesameh chasam vekala. And we're going to demonstrate that actually everything in that famous Gemara and Brachas is alluding to body and soul together. All right, so one of the things that, you know, if a person is Sameach Chasam Vekala, it's Kilu Hikriv Toda. So they brought a Toda offering. That's you have to give thanks to Hashem. So Toda is very interesting that it has chametz and matzah in the menachos that it comes with. Right? And the Maharal points out, chametz and matzah are opposites. You know, we're already within 30 days, people start cleaning for Pesach. Chametz and matzah are opposites, and yet the korban toda, when you have to give thanksgiving to Hashem, when you admit signs from Hashem, right, there's chametz and matzah, because when you admit that it all comes from Hashem, you realize there's only one God, even one God for opposites. It's the shallow view of denying Hashem that you assume that every force stands on its own. When you are moda, when you have cause to give thanksgiving, and in Lashon HaKodesh, to give thanks is also to give admission. When you have to admit to Hashem that he pulled your fat out of the fire, at that great moment, you know, opposites come together. Right? And it says, and that's man and wife. You know, man and woman are opposites. You know, I say men from Mars, women from Venus. Is that what they used to say? Now, of course, we're not talking about today's crazy woke society. You know, to talk about gender specificity. And yet, I'm a little bit confused because now it's all gender specificity. But then again, there's like 50 genders. I can't keep up. Oh, yeah, and I neglected to open today's session. Apologize for my white male privilege. I forgot to do that. You know, you forgive me for that. Anyway, can't keep up with the woke. Too many rules. Anyway, but for our point, men and women are opposites, right? Azer, you know, kenegdo, lozach. So now it's easier to see the kenegdo part. The lozacha, opposites. They don't like the same thing. They don't. I mean, again, this is once upon a time, of course, before we screwed ourselves up, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more tonight. But naturally speaking, men and women are opposites, and yet they're made for each other. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it just shows, you know, the union between man and wife, that if there's Zocha, the Shekhinah dwells between them, it's, you know, it goes both ways. You know, it's kind of... this is a cycle, but it's a positive cycle. They do their best to get along, and the divine presence therefore dwells between them, and the divine presence finishes the union, right? Because this is the great revelation of monotheism as Judaism teaches it. One God for all, one God for the opposites. You know, the Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, you know, that even though both creations of Hashem and they're totally oppositional, and yet they fit so together, and that is the proof that it all comes from the one same God. And when they fit together, it brings out divine unity. It goes both ways, right? It's the glue and it's the revelation. That's the amazing thing, male-female relationships and why it's so important. And we could probably understand why the liberals are trying to ruin it and destroy the nuclear family and destroy gender specificity. They're against God's order of the world, and God has structured the world in a male-female way. Haras panim, or heaven, male. Hester panim, earthly, female. Soul, male. Body, female. But the amazing thing that the Odom is B'Tselem Elokim is that everything that goes on inside of you, in your trying to attain harmony between your own body and soul, your relationship with your wife is like a mirror reflecting what's going on inside of you. Now listen, this used to be actually very easy. Before we made things more complicated for ourselves, right? So the natural tension that Hashem created us with, that was easy to overcome. He gave us a challenge, but a challenge that's doable, right? Reconciling the body and the soul. Man only had to keep one mitzvah. And also parallel to that, Adam Arishon had a very easy time with Shiduchim. Initially, Hashem made his wife and it was an arranged marriage and went pretty well, initially. All right. But then, we screw things up, so there's a natural tension between body and soul, which if we just have left it the way Hashem left it, it wouldn't be so difficult to find the harmony. Right, and the same thing also, proud that Chazal knew that it's not easy to have shalom bayis. But it's not unattainable either. So Chazal gave us rules of shalom bayis. There are certain things that the Torah mandated, share ksus and ona. Right, there are certain things that Chazal, instituted for shalom bayis, and were advised, like versus lighting, there should be Shabbos candles. So there shouldn't be tension in the house, right? On Shabbos, a woman has to do certain things or is exempt from doing certain things. Shalot is gan al bala, so she should not be repulsive to her husband. Chazal, the Torah, and then afterwards the Rabbanan were very mindful of this. It's shalom bayis is not automatic; it's work. Just like the harmony between body and soul is not automatic, it's work. But as the Pasuk says in Koheles, Asher Asa Elokim es Adam Yashar Ve'ema Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim, Hashem made man straight. It was simple, right? It's work, but it's not complicated. But Ve'ema Bikshu Cheshbonos, but man made things complicated, made Cheshbonos Rabim. And these complications that we make for ourselves are also reflected in our relationships, and that's why shalom bayis might be harder to attain, than in earlier generations. Certainly harder to attain than the way it was before the sin of Adam. Because the complications that there are that become static between body and soul also reflect themselves in the relationship between man and his wife. Right? And I truly believe, I used to be skeptical, but I believe there is a shidduch crisis. There's talk, is there really a shidduch crisis that people are not finding their soulmates, they're not finding their zivug, or is it just that because there's social media and stuff like that, so the few that there always are, that for one reason or another, whether it's a gzera min hashamayim or because they're really bad by their own devices, they're very bad at human relations, they just have more of a podium to vent, and it gives the perception that there's a crisis, but it's really just the same 10 people making a lot of noise. But I've come to the conclusion that the shidduch crisis is real. Because the whole idea of a shidduch, really, it's a cosmic unity. And that's the secret of what Chazal say. An empress asked one of the Tanoim, what does Hashem do ever since he created the world? And the Tana answered, he's mezavik zivugim, he's busy making shidduchim. She says, I could do that also. And says, lines up her male slaves with her female slaves. And the next day, you see, they're all injured. They didn't even make it through one night happily married. Right? Like a Hollywood marriage, right? So there's a reason why Hollywood marriage, because these people are so do not have God in their lives, right? It's the miracle of a marriage is cosmic unity, and we have to also maybe be mindful that Shalom Bayis is a gift from God, and when you have Shalom Bayis, the Shechina's there. So it's like amazing. It's not just that the Shechina's there and the Shechina finishes off the union and cements it, but also the Jewish home is a place for the Shechina to be revealed. Like the Beis HaMikdash, that's why another thing it says in that Gemara is Kilu Bon Achas Mechom Yerushalayim, when you're Mesamechos Kol, it's like you rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is where the Shechina was, right? And we said in the video series on Parshas Truma, that's what the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, and prior to that in the Mishkan, is Neshama Guf. The Shechina being like the Neshama, and the Beis HaMikdash that holds it like the Guf. Right? The truth is, the third thing that says over there is Zocher LaTorah. You're Zocher LaTorah, and it brings a proof from Matan Torah, because there's like the sounds of Matan Torah parallel the sounds of the Simcha by Chosan and Kala that the Navi speaks about. And so it's learned out from the sounds of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was Neshama Guf. The Torah is our national Neshama. And the Jews, all coalesce into like one huge body to hold our national Neshama, which is the Torah. So it's all, and that's what Matan Torah was all about. Like putting a Neshama into a Guf, putting the Torah into the macro body formed by the entire Jewish collective, right? And that's all represented by marriage, right? And that's why you need special Siyata Dishmaya for it to come together. So this goes back to why we should view it as a human privilege, not a white privilege. Human privilege. Are we allowed to say that even? I don't know. Can't keep up with the woke. But anyway, you have to forgive me. I'm in one of these moods. I've had many sleepless nights the last few weeks working on a book. That Baruch Hashem I finished today. A book is coming out on Pesach. Anyone wants to take out a dedication? we're still accepting dedications. Private message me and we'll talk business. Anyway, by all the other life forms, their mates came out of the ground together with them, right? No assembly required. No assembly, not just that, they didn't have to construct the mate, but, they came out together simultaneously. They were created together, right? Doesn't get easier than that. By the Adam, not that we created alone, then a lot of assembly required. First to build up the Isha, right? To build up the woman, and then to bring them together, right? And that's the way it is until this day. Derech Hashlach Zachariah Isha, Baal Aveda Chozer Al Aveda. So it's like you have to find, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Beis Amidav, right? This is like, this is not just now, it always was. Man has to go looking for his wife. The animals don't have this problem. They also don't have the Shalom Bayis problems that we have either. Never saw, male and female animal form having to go to marriage counseling, and they really don't need it. Really they don't need it. I'm not being funny. They really don't need it. They just get along. By us, it's a challenge. We have to, like we explained, right? The dual, our married life is a reflection of body and soul. Yes, so body and soul, assembly required, put the soul in the body. It's not all one piece. They're two very distinct pieces being merged. So also man and wife, reflect that duality. And the challenges that there are, between, just to, even in a perfect society, you know, which is not overly narcissistic, not only made crazy by crazy expectations that Hollywood and society put in our heads, right? Even in the most perfect society, it's still work. Shalom bias is work, because I'll talk about it. You got to find your wife. You got to convince her to marry you. This is going on, you know, the Gemara talks about this, right? Now look, even our avos, you know. You know, Yitzchak, and, you know, they had to go find Rivka for him and Yaakov, what he went through with Rachel and Leah. But all these things are amazing, you know. And the fact that it made it into the Chumash goes to show you that it's real cosmic work. It's real cosmic work to pull together the family unit, and it's perfectly parallel to the cosmic work of synthesizing and harmonizing soul and body, and in the big, big, big grand picture of harmonizing and synthesizing Horus Panim and Hester Panim. Right? These things are all parallel. Right? Now, if we would have, like I said, left life the way Hashem left it for us, or even, right, so then, you know, life would have been easy, life would not have been so complicated. We'd have inner peace, and it would have had, on the outside, shalom bias easily. It would have taken minimal work, right? Just like making a living would have only required minimal work. All right, we made our things more complicated with the Eitz Hadas, and that created tremendous fragmentation between body and soul, and that also created tremendous fragmentation between man and wife. We said, after the sin, Adam and Chava split. And after that, also, they didn't even have a holy view on marriage until the Avos, Avram and Sarah, you know, brought back the concept of sanctity of marriage. And that's why, you know, there's the first couple that we talk about their married life at some length and the agreements and disagreements that they had, like over, you know, how to handle things when they go to Mitzrayim or Avimelech, and also their disagreements over what to do with Yishmael, you know. Human situations, you know, real shalom bias situations that Sarah called Avram old and Hashem, you know, taught us a lesson. You could like bend the truth, you know, so as not to make problems of shalom bias between man and wife. Amazing stuff. You know, we start with the Avos restored the kedusha of the body, and how the body is destined to be merged with the soul. Right, so the the holiness of the body and the holiness of marriage, you know, was restored with the Avos. And Moras HaMachpelah, you know, the first honorable burial, is also where couples are buried, right? To show that the body deserves honor, because it's not just some machine, right? It's something holy that is meant to merge with the divine neshama, right? Which means it also has a certain innate kedusha onto its own if it's, you know, capable of, you know, entering a marriage with the neshama. And that's the Zohar that I already sent out 2 weeks ago. A week ago. Now, what am I talking about? Purim threw me off. Oof. They sent out last Monday that we will yet read inside that Avram and Sarah is guf and neshama. All right, and when the body dies, the neshama goes to the levaya and says a eulogy on it. It's like the spouse of the neshama has died, and that's when it's a successful marriage, Whereas by Russia, you know, the neshama is so glad it's finally rid of the jerk, right? So another thing to talk about right now is that. We view buying and selling and all that type of stuff, you know, as just a means to make money. So you buy something for the purpose of flipping it, right? And we hope that we don't look that way on our spouses. You're not buying your spouse to subsequently flip her out for a trade her out for a better model, you know, we'd like to believe. Sadly, people do relate, to their spouse and their acquisitions the same way. And the truth is, it should be the other way around. There should be a certain sanctity even in our acquisitions. That just like, you know, the greatest acquisition you'll ever make is your own wife, Hariat Mekudesh Asli. Kiddushin is a Kenyan, right? And has a legal status of having acquired her, right? So now it's interesting, you know, together with the, Avram seeking a burial for, Sarah, it's also the first real estate deal brought down in the Torah, right? Avram purchased it. And from the purchase of Maaseh Machpel, we learned that Kiddushin could be done with Kesef. Now, B'nai Ches witnessed the whole thing, and they're mentioned like something like 18 times or something like that. Don't remember the exact number, right? But and they're mentioned so many times because they have the honor of being Mevarer Mekho Shel Tzadik. They have the honor of clarifying, attesting to the acquisition of a tzaddik. What's the big deal, right? But these things all fit together, right? Because of the the sin of Adam, right? That made fragmentation between body and soul. And fragmentation in the world, that it's very hard to pull the pieces together to make a decent living. There's a lot of fragmentation that needs to be overcome, right? And we actually have a sense of mission in the acquisitions that we make. There's making a living, and then there's buying stuff. Buying stuff, you're pulling pieces together. You're making ownership and making connections, and it all goes together. Avram, he wasn't buying Stam real estate. He wanted to have that particular cave because he sensed, that it was a holy place and it was the befitting place to begin the comeback of the Kedusha of the body, which in the macro is also the Kedusha of marriage. And that's why he wants to be buried with her there, not just to bury her there, but eventually him himself be buried there, and that's a whole minhag of, spouses being buried together. Even in death, they do not part. As we're going to learn in the Zohar that I gave out, that, the neshama, even when it's unfettered from the body, to go back to heaven, it visits, it leaves something behind with the body that it loves so much. Aside from visiting the body, right? So acquisition is connection, and there's another lesson over here, but that's like getting in the further afield, like concentric circles. Your closest circle is you and yourself. See if you could get along with yourself. Get over the static that there is between body and soul. And we addressed a little bit of that in the video drasha that we gave today, that, there's static inside of us. There is the way the biochemical brain thinks, and there is the way the neshama thinks. Now, to have the way, and what we're going to talk later in the series, the way to, make harmony and get the neshama to speak to you in your mind, that you hear your neshama's voice, and you'll have your neshama's thoughts in your brain, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, especially since they really don't naturally think the same way. So like we said, an important idea in today's video production that we sent out, that, for the body, the biochemical needs emunah, faith. Because you have to know that you don't have all the answers, but just like you don't have all the answers, hear this well, you also don't have necessarily all the questions. Meaning to say, you have a lot of doubts, but a lot of those doubts may not be real. You're confused because of the limitations of the biochemical mind, right? So you need emunah. Das is from the neshama. The neshama perceives things as they truly are. And we have to, work on, the way we stabilize, until we make the mind meld. The mind meld between the neshama and the guf. You should have neshama thoughts, permeating your biochemical mind, and we will discuss that later in the series. But until that point, the way to, make a truce between the way the body thinks, the biochemical conscious, and Das Torah, is that you have to work on emunah, faith, right? Because there might be a lot of things your biochemical mind would tell you might be doubting of, but the doubts aren't real. It's just, you know, paranoia, or society puts some static into your head, right? So you have emuna to keep firm. And then so the emuna stabilizes the biochemical consciousness that with all its faults, it should still stay on track. It should stay, emuna's blushin ne'eman, still stay trustworthy, stay the course, right? And if you keep the body, under control, you know, the mind, the biochemical mind under control with emuna, so that stabilizes it, that you can hold it in place. So just try to get the neshama to start permeating it with das, right? Now, all that's happening in the individual is going to reflect itself in marriage. You know, whatever static you're having between you and yourself, you know, between your neshama and guf, is going to come out, you know, in some way as static between you and your wife. And I'm talking about it in an ideal world where we're living, you know, the natural lives that Hashem wanted us to live, right? Problem is, we have a crazy society that's getting into our heads. It's making us sick also, you know, all types of sickness beyond the natural tension of body and soul. All this cheshbonos rabim, and it's also making unnecessary static between us and our spouses and in our family, right? But in an ideal world, right, that there's only natural tension, now that God left in the world for you to overcome, and it's easy to overcome, right? You know, God gave you a job that's easy to do, right? You made it harder for yourself. So in an ideal world where we're just living at a natural pace, you know, natural as the way God created the world and the way he left the world before we screwed it up even more. And with every generation, we just screwed up more and more. But if we could just live, you know, on frequency, on tone, with, you know, with what is natural as per the way Hashem created it, whatever tension there is between you and yourself, right, is going to reflect itself between you and your wife in a perfect reflection. And further afield, so it's like, you know, so the closest, tightest inner circle is you and yourself, your neshama and your guf. You know, you're going to have a parallel to that tension in the right outside of you, in the most proximate circle, which is your wife, right? And you're going to have that a reflection of that tension even further afield in the wider outer circle in society. We don't realize, you know, that we complain about the way life is. We don't realize that Hashem is holding up a mirror to us, just holding up a mirror, right? This is you, right? And you say, why is life so unfair, or why, you know, well, the way life is treating you is really a mirror. It's a reflection. Now, it would have been easier to see the parallels, again, if we would be living in a perfectly natural, you know, rhythm. Probably our rhythm is very disrupted by the way we've warped ourselves, and society has warped us. And of course, so there's going to be types of crazy stuff between us and our wives, and crazy, crazy stuff between us and life around us. How, as they, to borrow the term, how the universe treats us, right? The responses that we get from the universe, which of course we mean Ashgacha, it's all really just a mirror, but there's like a lot of stuff that you don't know where that's coming from, because it's really... It really is unnatural, very unnatural. And we'll discuss this more. You guys are a very docile crowd. You're not really asking any questions. So I'm just rambling on. But you could stop me at any time to clarify. But the point I wanted to say is this is what's going on in Parshas Chayesora, the background for this Zohar that I hope next time for us to learn inside together. That, you know, everything that's going on now, Avram and Sarah, Guf and Neshama, and even further afield, his business dealings with Ephron, right? You know, Mekhol Shel Tzadik, right? We're supposed to try to, you know, have that perfect rhythm that resonates inside and outside, a perfect rhythm, a perfect attunement, that harmony between body and soul should be reflected between a man and his wife, and should be reflected in the way man interacts with life. There'll be certain things that he will acquire, buy and want to make a part of himself. And those things, there are certain things that will fit. There are certain business deals that won't work out. And it'll all be parallel, right? And that's what we're supposed to look for in our lives. Look for that harmony. Or when we say, that's really what we mean. We're now just making it personal. When we say, Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, everything you do should be for the sake of heaven, we're talking about seeking this harmony between the spiritual and the physical, between the neshama and guf, which also has a ripple effect. It has a parallel, perfect parallel in our relationships with our spouses, and has a further outer parallel in our relationship to the universe, right, to the world around us, right? We have to look for the shem shamayim of finding kedusha everywhere. That means finding neshama, a neshama aspect in a guf aspect wherever we look. All right, we're going to call it here for tonight. I think I gave enough background information and orientation. I would like for this upcoming Monday, Be'ezer Hashem, to learn the Zohar inside. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.